Welcome to episode 1245 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look, as we wrap up the final section in our chapter, Ripped from the Headlines, in which we examine Jesus' take on topics of contemporary relevance. How can we make sense of what's going on in our world today? How would Jesus respond to or counsel us about the issues that dominate our news feeds? Yesterday, we began to explore the uncomfortable truth. Why do so many values and practices in modern Christianity seem to stand in direct opposition to the teachings of Jesus? Perhaps the most difficult reason Christians get Jesus wrong is that his teachings directly challenge systems that benefit many of us. If you're wealthy, Jesus's teachings about money are uncomfortable. If you're in a position of power, his teachings about servanthood are threatening. If you benefit from current social arrangements, his teachings about justice are inconvenient. So we develop sophisticated ways to explain away the parts of Jesus's message that cost us something. We spiritualize his economic teachings so they don't require actual financial sacrifice. We individualize his social justice message so it doesn't require systemic change. We futurize his kingdom teachings so they don't require present action. This is exactly what happened to the rich young ruler in Mark 10. He had followed all the religious rules, but when Jesus told him to sell everything and give to the poor, his face fell, and he went away sad, for he had great wealth. Jesus' response wasn't to soften the message or find a compromise. He simply observed how hard it is for the wealthy to enter God's kingdom. The same pattern applies today. When Jesus' teachings challenge our privilege, our natural response is often to find reasons why those teachings don't really apply to us. This leads to what we might call selective scripture reading, emphasizing the verses that support our existing beliefs while ignoring the ones that challenge them. For example, many American Christians can quote Jesus saying, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's," when discussing church-state separation, but they're less familiar with his saying, "You cannot serve both God and money." They know Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," but they may have never seriously grappled with, "Sell everything you have and give to the poor." They remember, "Judge not that you be not judged," when they want to avoid accountability, but forget, "Go and sin no more," when they want to avoid moral demands. This selective reading allows us to create a version of Christianity that supports our lifestyle and political preferences while claiming biblical authority. But Jesus warned against this approach in Matthew 5, verse 19.
"Anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven."
We need to acknowledge how institutional interests can distort the gospel message. Many churches today function more like businesses than communities of faith. They need to maintain buildings, pay staff, attract members, and compete with other churches for attention and resources. This creates pressure to make Christianity appealing to potential customers, rather than challenging to faithful disciples. It's easier to grow a church by telling people what they want to hear than by proclaiming Jesus's difficult teachings about sacrifice, love for enemies, and concern for the poor. Jesus warned about this in John 10, contrasting true shepherds with hired hands.
"The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep."
When church leaders are more concerned with institutional success than spiritual faithfulness, they may compromise Jesus's message to maintain their position or grow their organization. Churches also face external pressures from political and financial supporters. When wealthy donors or politically connected members have significant influence over church decisions, it becomes difficult to preach messages that might offend them. Jesus faced similar pressures in his own time. The religious leaders were afraid to challenge Roman authority because they benefited from the current arrangement. They were afraid to offend wealthy supporters because they depended on their donations. But Jesus consistently spoke truth regardless of who it offended. In Matthew 23, verse 27, he called the religious leaders,
"Whitewashed tombs which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean."
This kind of prophetic boldness is rare today because it threatens institutional stability and personal comfort. Perhaps the most dramatic example of institutional distortion is the prosperity gospel, the teaching that God wants Christians to be wealthy and that faith will lead to financial success. This teaching is the exact opposite of Jesus' message. In Luke 6, verses 20 and 21, Jesus said,
"Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied."
But the prosperity gospel is popular because it tells people what they want to hear, that they can follow Jesus and get rich too, that faith is compatible with unlimited material accumulation, that God's blessing can be measured in dollars. This distortion serves the interests of wealthy Christian leaders who want to justify their lifestyle, and wealthy Christian followers who want to feel good about their economic status. But it completely contradicts Jesus' teachings about money, wealth, and the dangers of materialism. So how do we get Jesus right? How do we move beyond these historical, cultural, and institutional distortions to rediscover the radical message of the Gospels? First, we need to read the Gospels as if we're encountering Jesus for the first time. Put aside everything you think you know about Christianity and ask, what is this man actually saying? What is he actually doing? Who is he spending time with? What makes the religious leaders angry? What brings him joy? Pay special attention to the parts of Jesus' teaching that make you uncomfortable. Those are often the places where the real Jesus is breaking through our cultural conditioning. Second, we need to listen to Christians who are outside the centers of power and privilege. Throughout history, some of the clearest interpretations of Jesus' message have come from Christians who were oppressed, poor, or marginalized. Liberation theologians in Latin America, Black theologians in the United States, persecuted Christians around the world. These voices often hear Jesus' message more clearly because they're in situations similar to his original audience. Third, we need to ask different questions about Christian faithfulness. Instead of asking, how can I make Christianity work with my lifestyle? Ask, how does Jesus want to change my lifestyle? Instead of asking, what does God want to give me? Ask, what does God want me to give? Finally, we need to remember that following Jesus cost him everything, and it will cost us something too. If our Christianity doesn't challenge us, change us, or cost us anything, we're probably following a Jesus of our own creation rather than the Jesus of the Gospels.
I have called you to follow me, and if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And if in the following the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. That said, I came into the world so that you could have life, and have it more abundantly. The cost is worth it.
Over these past few episodes, we've seen how Jesus' teachings directly address many of our most contentious contemporary issues. We've discovered that he consistently sided with the marginalized over the powerful, chose love over fear, prioritized justice over comfort, and embraced vulnerability over violence. Most challenging of all, we've seen that the Jesus of the Gospels often stands in sharp contrast to the Jesus claimed by much of American Christianity. This doesn't mean we should despair or give up on the church. It means we should recommit to the ongoing work of reformation, constantly returning to Jesus' actual words and deeds, constantly asking how they apply to our lives and our world. The good news is that Jesus is bigger than our mistakes. He's more radical than our politics, more loving than our prejudices, and more challenging than our comfort zones. He's still calling disciples today. He's still proclaiming good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, and sight for the blind. He's still turning over tables in temples and washing feet in upper rooms. The question isn't whether Jesus is relevant to our 21st century problems. The question is whether we're willing to let him be as radical in our lives as he was in first century Palestine. If we are, we might just discover that the Jesus we've been missing is exactly the Jesus our world desperately needs. The conversation doesn't end here. Take these questions into your communities, your churches, and your own prayer life. And remember, the goal isn't to win arguments about Jesus. It's to be transformed by him. Father, we thank you for the radical and challenging message of your Son, Jesus. Give us the humility to let his truth break through our comfortable assumptions and the courage to live out the cost of discipleship. Help us to follow Jesus as he truly is, not as we wish him to be. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today,